Great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, Saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. And may Yahweh bless your understanding today. We've got a lot to go through. I hope I can get through all of it. I'd like to start out by telling you the title of today's sermonette. It is SROs. Okay, that's S-R-O. SROs, winning the hearts and minds. Now, before we get too far into this, I'd like to kind of let you know how things are going in the Little Rock area. Actually, right now, today, this afternoon, we're going to be having that class at about 3 o'clock. And these people here, most of them here are people that keep coming back. They've already been assigned to come to the Peaceful Solution class for anger management or whatever, but they keep coming back. They've already fulfilled their obligation, but they just want more and more and more. And that's what we see out of the people that take hold of the Peaceful Solution. They just can't get enough, so they keep coming back even though they don't have to. And we have some diligent workers that are today that are helping out with that. So I'd like you to keep them in mind. I'd also like to say what a joy it is to work with the children here at the House of Yahweh. I'll tell you what, they're the most wonderful children on the face of the earth. You know, it's very refreshing to be able to work with the children here before going back out there in the world. Okay, well, let's get on here with this. The SROs, winning the hearts and minds. Now, SRO stands for School Resource Officer. And I need you to remember a couple things as we get started. Remember, Pastor told us that the Pope has called for a new crusade. And this crusade has been planned for a very long time. And people have been put in place for a very long time, too. The Jesuits are everywhere, in every aspect of society, in every, you know, governmental offices, in any high place, they're there guiding the steps. And, okay, now I meant to tell you just a little bit more about these students, though, that I deal with out in the world. These are what they call ALC students, Alternative Learning Center students, okay? And they're coming in for anger management. The Peaceful Solution. And we started with the character book, and then we're going on up through the other books. But the kind of things that we deal with are students that are very rebellious. I know one of them asked me last week, they said they wanted $5. And I said, I don't have $5 to give you. And immediately what popped into my mind was that scripture where, you know, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Yisrael Hawkins of Abilene, right? Of Abilene. And I didn't say that, but it popped into my mind, and I was thinking it as I told him I didn't have any money. So, and in dealing with these children, after dealing with the children here, I'm able to go back out there into the world and in class be Mr. Hawkins instead of Mr. Godfrey. If you remember the lessons that we had in the Peaceful Solution of the two different types of teachers, you know, and I got kind of a kick out of that. But, okay, back to these school resource officers. Now, these school resource officers started coming to mind here a recent trip that the missionaries took. We came outside the school, and there were six police cars outside the school, and I thought to myself, what in the world do they need six police cars for? And on those cars, it said school resource officer. So I started looking into this. I thought that was sure a lot of cars. And so I started wondering, well, where did they come from? Why are there so many of them? And who pays the tab for this? I mean, it must cost a lot of money to be able to deal with all this. Also, it seems like every school has SROs now. I mean, you hear about it all the time. The school resource officer did this, did that. And so we were looking at who pays the tab. Well, schools always tell me that they have no money. When we're talking to them about the Peaceful Solution, they tell us they have no funds. So, you know, we go and do it anyway. But I think they might have meant they just don't have any funds for righteousness right now. Now, that's going to change, and it's going to change pretty quick. So I want to go ahead and show you. I've got several items here that we're going to look over. And Yahweh willing, we might even have a short video. But this says crime on campus. Now, since 2005, Tulsa schools have called police more than 9,450 times. That's a lot of times. And but I wonder just exactly how much of that is really crime. You know, how much of it is just, you know, an unruly student and so forth. But just to show you a few pictures of these police cars outside schools, I want to just show you a couple of them so you could get the idea. This one's got about four cars outside of it. And it doesn't matter if it's an elementary school, a middle school, a high school, or what have you. So we started, let me just show you this real quick. Paying the tab, you can see right here that this particular resource officer's salary is $99,000 a year. Well, that's a lot of money. So kept looking a little bit here, and we found that, and this is about the norm, looking at several different school districts. It shows where the deputies, the sheriff's office paid $839,000, the school board paid $591,000. Then they had government funds also for these school resource officers. In fact, the government funds come from the U.S. Department of Justice. In fact, since the year 1999, they have awarded $750 million to more than 3,000 grantees to push this school resource officer program. Okay, this is from the Fort Fairfield Journal, and it's talking about a hearing they had to find out if they were going to use these school resource officers. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but down at the bottom, we're going to talk a little bit more about the funding there. And if you'll look right there, see where it says Department of Homeland Security? Thousands of dollars in a grant from the Department of Homeland Security was awarded for these school resource officers. It says that the program was developed from a grant from Department of Homeland Security modeled after the Nazi Germany's Hitler Youth Program of the 30s that places armed, uniformed police officers in school acting as teachers and befriending students from K through 12 in order to both indoctrinate them into a future police state and gain valuable intelligence about them and their families that may be used against them in future court proceedings. In violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, of course. So pretty much the school pays about 33%, the sheriff's department pays about 33%, and the federal government pays about 33%. So it varies a little district to district, but that's pretty close. So as we looked at that, I wondered, well, what is it exactly that they do? I had my own idea kind of what they did, you know, and they're there in case someone really gets out of hand or whatever. I didn't even know they were full time. I thought they were just like in there for a little bit one day and then off doing something else. But as we look a little deeper, it says in this particular article, it says we found little agreement about the roles school resource officers play. Some organizations describe them as law enforcement, others describe them as school personnel. Some of the things that they do is teaching conflict resolution, problem-solving skills to students, teachers, and parents, and making arrests and issuing citations, acting as hall monitors, etc. Now, another part of it, though, is the problem solver, community resource liaison, and an educator, and a safety expert and law enforcer. We learned that school resource officers are not certified or licensed at all. We found no evidence that the school resource officers make schools more or less safe. What happens to a child who is arrested and taken out of the school in handcuffs? Well, the State Department of Education does not require school districts to keep track of this, so there are no records to answer that question. So, now, is this taking school safety too far? The ill-defined role police play in schools says school resource officers are not taught how to recognize manifestations of students' disabilities. As a result, remember, they're not certified in any way other than law enforcement. And as a result, students with special needs, students of color, and students from disadvantaged communities face a heightened risk of arrest. Now, I told you I had a lot of these articles, so bear with me. Now, here is one of the SROs stating what he does. He attended what's called the GREAT program. He says, I present training for the school staff for child protective services procedures in the event there's sexual abuse, etc. I work with the counselors or the teachers on making sure they get the services to coordinate with CPS to make sure those type of cases move forward. You're starting to click a little bit there. The school resource officers, here's one, the San Rafael district. They work very closely with the Youth Services Bureau. They receive and review CPS cross reports for physical abuse and conduct investigations and interviews with CPS when necessary. So I wanted to see, you know, exactly what they do in these interviews and how the school resource officer gets involved in them. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we're running short on time, but rather develop, it says, don't take pictures, just develop written documentation of any observations of the child and provide this documentation to CPS social worker. And the interview should only elicit, you know, these certain things that should be done. But notice at the bottom it says, child should be told that a friend is going to be contacted who will try to help them. A friend. All right? Now, this is not just in this one district. This is like a CPS directive or a government directive, because I found it in many different areas, okay? So they're telling them that a friend is going to help them. Then it goes on to say that the school division shall allow the child protective services worker to interview the child or siblings without consent of parents or guardians. They say in order to protect the family's right to privacy. It says the interview shall be in private, and the school division shall cooperate with child protective services worker and provide the following resources: a private room or other space for interviews of children in private without the parent or guardian knowing about it, of course, being interviewed by their friend. But wait, there's more. Okay, this is from schoolsafety.net, the role of the school resource officer. I wanted to see what else they say about it, since there seems to be some disagreement as to exactly what the role of the SRO is. Now, right here, there's a statement, there's a note here that says, with recent events in our nations, there must be new focus on protecting our schools from acts of terrorism. Okay, is it starting to sound familiar? The acts of terrorism, we have to have TSA, we have to have Homeland Security, we have to have FEMA, we have to have all these things in place for the terrorists that are coming. Okay, so then the school resource officers. It says, SROs should also meet with the PTA or other student and parent groups to discuss the threats of terrorism and to keep them informed of homeland security issues which may affect the school. Then at the very bottom, there's another note, and it says, school resource officers should be an essential part of all school security and emergency preparedness in a post-911 world. Now, with all those things, it started sounding a whole lot like the Homeland Security. I really started looking at this, and it seems that the school resource officers are to be teachers, counselors, disciplinarians, kind of the go-to guy that every student goes to if they have a problem. Their protector, okay? In fact, some of the schools are getting automatic weapons for their school resource officers. One of the things I noticed that they're to get children used to being around law enforcement, around guns and uniforms, around the bulletproof vests, the SWAT gear, the police cars, you know, all that everyday stuff that we all deal with and wear. So I'm starting to see this pattern here again. Again, I want you to get it in your mind. I started thinking of the control, the police state, the cyber police, the traffic control. You know, we mentioned a little bit about that before and how they're able to shut down traffic and how they're putting up these medians all down through all the interstates across the United States where you can't cross over to the other side. Well, you know, then you think, well, wait a minute, this is just school. This isn't all that. This is not some kind of terrorist organization or something. It's school, right? Well, continuing in this pattern, looking a little deeper, you know, this pattern that started showing up is the one that started showing its ugly face, this pattern of sodomites, pedophiles, violence, oppression. And so here's a few more sheets I have to share with you. Former cop, and that's a SRO officer, by the way, found guilty on 140 counts of child molestation. In the time he was in that school, there was 140 counts of child molestation. Here's a school resource officer and a teacher, both caught on tape cursing and threatening a student. It seems that there was one of the well-liked teachers that was accused by a student of being a pedophile. The school resource officer actually said that this child can't come back on campus because he would be beaten up. And he was talking about him or someone else. He was trying to be in defense of the person that was accused. Anyway, this person that was accused was fired for having this sexual relationship with an underage boy, and that was the underage boy they were trying to keep from coming back on campus. Columbia school resource officer charged with paying teen prostitute for sex. Former high school resource officer accused of having sexual contact with teenager, sexting, and so forth. And here's our tax dollars at work. Pedophile, Portales, New Mexico police officer charged with sexual misconduct with underage girls. And authorities say that this man was assigned as the Portales Public School Resource Officer from January to May of this year. They manufactured and possessed and distributed sexually explicit photos and videos of at least two female students under 18. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, it's actually pretty bad. School resource officer shocked student at school with a taser. So it gets worse and worse and worse. So I was thinking about this, and I was trying to make the connection there to where all this gets with Homeland Security. And, of course, I started thinking about the Catholic Church when I started seeing all this this sexual abuse and so forth. And then I thought, well, let me look a little deeper. So we looked a little bit deeper, and we started finding the violence. Now, I wanted to share with you this real quick. I walked into Walmart several nights ago. In fact, I called a great Kahan right after I saw this, and he said, well, you'll never guess what occurred to me today. And he told me of a similar thing that he saw at a Walmart. But this is an advertisement for the video game Hitman. Now, Hitman is one of the most vile things I've ever seen. I've just seen a trailer for it, and it is absolutely very gross, the way that you are actually the hitman and you get points by using creative weapons, and the more blood and guts you can spill, the better it is. And Walmart is advertising this to go on sale, I guess, for the Christmas season. And I found a manager, and I asked him about that, and I said, you know, this thing that you have out here advertising this Hitman, this video game, and I told him about the video game. He said, well, I don't play video games. And I said, well, neither do I. But I said, there are a lot of people that do, and you're advertising this and contributing to the violence in this world. And I didn't know at the time, praise Yahweh, I didn't know at the time some of the things that was brought out last week about Walmart and some certain connections. So the school resource officers, remember, they're your friend, right? They're here to protect you, right? And I want to say right now, before we go any further, I'd like you to think about this thing. Now, if you know a school resource officer, if you've met a local school resource officer, and you think, well, that guy's not bad. You know, he's okay. He's not here to hurt anybody. He's here to protect the students. I know him personally. Then what I'm telling you, if you think it's different than what I'm telling you, then the man may have already accomplished his job of winning you over, of winning the heart and mind. We have to be very, very careful about that. You may already be in danger of running to Satan when things get tougher instead of running to Yahweh. So you need to think about that really, really close. Because this is where all of this is leading. It's building up this police state, if you will. Remember the depopulation that we talked about. Remember that bullies can't teach anti-bullying. And remember the Crusades. You know, we've already been warned, the forced control. And do we have a video available? Okay, if it's up there, go ahead and play that real quick, if you will. Okay, what I'd like you to see in that is the brutality and the violence. And there's more to the video that even shows where a child got killed, was shot 10 times by an officer, a school resource officer at the school. So remembering that they haven't been taught how to deal with these situations. I'd like to quickly look at the, can we have the monitor? I'd like to quickly look at the word resource, okay? This is the word resource. If you take a look at this, the best answer that we could come up with the etymology online, was it was first printed in 1611 from the Latin word resurgere, which means rise again. Okay, so if we think about this, the rising again, it goes in line with being told, what pastors told us about the new crusade, the crusades that are taking place and everything being put in place for this to take place at these end days, at this time, the rising up again. It also means to rally or to raise again. It means to spring up or forth. Remember the Arab Spring, they called it, when the Pope was praising the Arab Spring, the rising up, the rising again. Okay. Please remember these things. If you'll just turn with me real quick to page 899. Page 899. And it's 1 Corinthians 16:13. It says, "Watch, stand firm in the faith, be brave, and be strong." And then in 2 Timaeus 2:12 on page 938, just a few pages away, page 938. 2 Timaeus 2:12. "If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." So brothers and sisters, when the time comes, when children are rising up, betraying their parents, maybe not even knowing what they're doing because they haven't been taught to keep their mouths shut, when these friends, these school resource officers are getting information out of them, you need to be very careful. And when the trouble does spring up, don't run. Don't deny Yahweh. Don't run into the arms of these people, because it's being set up all over the world right now. Be very careful. Remember, Yahweh is our protection, not the world. And if you'll all please stand, it's my great privilege to introduce to you the greatest teacher in the world, the great God, Yisrael Hawkins! Shalom, everyone! Are you looking great? Thank you.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We had to forego the news today. I had the Pope sent me some special information and wants me to address it. I think he does. I think he wouldn't be writing it if he didn't. But I did want to read you this, mental health. I don't know if you noticed, Jesse Jackson's son was the big news, and very few paid any attention to it, but he suffers from a bipolar condition. He's not alone. One out of every three people is diagnosed with it, with mental disorders. That is mental disorders. Not all of them are bipolar, but there's a big share of them that are. Why one poll says 45% would rather skip Christmas. 45%, how about that? Would rather skip Christmas. Now, of course, this is something that's taking place now because the house of Yahweh is pounding these evil pagan traditions that Yahweh says don't even learn. This one says it's time to ban Christmas presents. Now, this is a rather long article, and he shows that it throws a hardship on the people. It entices them to spend money that they don't have, and of course their families have to suffer. They have to suffer. They foreclose on their houses and cars because they've gone in debt more than they can handle. So it's a loser. Christmas is a loser. It's a curse. It always has been. This is something that's certainly not a curse. red reddish slaw. That's a really a great tasting slaw. And with that, they're serving organic salad. That is, if you taste this and really pay attention, and you really remember what it was like when you ate a carrot out in the world or a piece of lettuce out in the world and you thought she was drinking water instead of eating because there was no taste to it. Well, this organic salad, I tell you, the more you eat of them, the more you want them. Praise Yahweh. And they have their own ranch style dressing too that I love very much. This chili cheese casserole. This is a recipe that I talked Donna Ivy into making years ago, back when we were in Abilene, and she became expert at it. I don't see her here today, but if she's here, it's something that I'll always appreciate. I tell you, it is beautiful. Beautiful tasting, and you get addictive to it. Poems. We need some poems. We want to write a book of Yahweh that's filled with just nothing but poems. You don't have to write eloquently, they said. So in that way, they can use some Okie's work. Some of them Okies can make that language sound pretty great. But whether you do or not, no matter what, keep it in praise to Yahweh. Keep it scriptural and meaningful. One more thing. Pope and his crew has written a new book, Confessing False Doctrines Concerning the Pagan Tradition of Christmas. Now, the reason he did this, I think the reason he did this is because we're bringing out the truth about Christmas and hitting it pretty hard right now, because it is a very evil custom that is spoken of in the Holy Scriptures, that turned the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel and started wars all over Israel, and then eventually throughout the nations with their competitive spirit that it puts forth. He starts with, he says, Jesus was born years earlier than thought, claims Pope. Well, of course, this is just claims. They have nothing to back them up in this. It's maybe he was and maybe he wasn't. That makes no difference. What makes the difference is what Yahshua taught. His name was not Jesus. It was Yahshua. If the Pope would just take time and turn over to Hebrews, I want to show you the Savior's name in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, Hebrews 4, where it's speaking of a Sabbath day that Yahshua kept perfectly and commanded the world to keep. There's a tax on that too today. But Yahshua, of course, the Pope admits, the Catholic Church admits in the catechisms of the Catholic Church, that they replaced the name Yahshua with the names of two gods, and replaced Yahweh's name also out of respect, they said. I think the respect went to the one they follow, which First Yochanan, or First John, if you have a King James Version, shows you who that is in First John 3, verse 7 and 8. But here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse 8, you see the Savior's name. Now, they try to make out like this was the man who they named Joshua that took Moshe's place. But that's not speaking of him. There's no place you can find that where he did anything but go and fight like any general or captain or whatever and take the lands that so the people could come in and set up a breeding program and set up a trying area to where the people could be tried for Yahweh's kingdom. But this man right here is speaking of the Savior, and he gave the Sabbath, and he gave it in a way that like it was meant to be from the beginning. He rested on the Sabbath day. He rested by doing, by stopping his own work and doing Yahweh's work. And he plainly says, if we keep the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day, that's the day Yahweh rested on. It's plain, it's the seventh day. It's no other day but the seventh day. And there still remains the keeping of the Sabbath, Yahshua said, who gave this to the people of Yahweh. Well, the Pope, of course, denies that, but he cast uncertainty, tries to cast uncertainty. He does this with a slick psychological move to make people doubt and to look to the Catholic Church for guidance. But less and less people are looking to the Catholic Church for guidance. Praise Yahweh. They count themselves now at 1 billion people, 1 billion of their congregation, and is 1 billion. And of course, that's supposed to be the world's largest religion. That's uncertain too, by the way. I respectfully tell you, Mr. Pope, the assertion, he said, that Yahshua, I'll call him Yahshua, they call him Jesus and Christ, but the assertion that the Christian calendar is based on false premises is not new. It's not new, but there's no proof that it is either. This calendar that we have, there's absolutely nothing to prove that the we've been through all of that. And people try to cast doubts to make us think, well, we don't know whether we're keeping the Sabbath or not. But we've been quoted in several of the encyclopedias now. I don't know if you know this or not, but they're quoting the House of Yahweh regularly, where we bring out the fact that the seventh-day cycle has never been broken. And praise Yahweh. He says here, the birth is not clear. the birth of Yahshua is not clear. That's right. He doesn't, the one that actually inspired the scriptures gave no hint as to the day that that the Savior was born. He says the Bible does not specify a date of birth for Yahshua. That's true. And I'm glad you admit that. The monks appear. The monks who wrote this appear to have, well, maybe they did, is what he's saying. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But they appear to have based this calculation on vague references. Well, what do you base Christmas on? The Christmas holiday on, you know, it's not vague references that you base it on. It's a pagan custom and is condemned by the prophet. Is they started condemning it as early as 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and Easter, and of course, your worship of your dead saints. That's part of the Christmas. You're worshiping the dead, people who died and you made gods out of them. The ideal, he says, that Yahshua was born on December 25th also has no basis. Praise Yahweh, he admitted that. He can't, nothing vague about that. You can't deny it. In fact, the scripture even backs that up. I think it's Luke 15 or something like that, where it shows that the shepherds were still herding their spring lambs. And somewhere in between that time, in that summertime period, Yahshua was born. Nowhere near, everybody agrees that it couldn't be any later than September, the last of September, or 1st of October when that took place. But he finally admits there's no basis here in historical facts. We don't even know which season he was born. Well, we know it was the summertime, that we know that for sure. He says it's linked to pagan traditions. Now, he even admits that this December the 25th is linked to pagan traditions and the winter solstice. Now, what did we put out in our books? That's exactly what we said, right? That we brought this fact down. He's writing this to try to cast doubt on us, but he's just backing up everything we say. Christmas celebration is all pagan. If you turn over, let's do this, but for the benefit of those who haven't heard this, but the Pope is trying to gain back those who are leaving the Catholic Church because of these pagan celebrations. And of course, these articles that I just read to begin with, where 45% are saying it's time to dump it. It's time to dump this pagan practice. It's nothing but trouble. If you notice Black Friday, they've come up with a new one to make money, is this Black Friday. And you'll see people start gathering for 2 to 3 days. They even set up in tents to beat one another into the store to fight over the sales that they have there. Well, now they want to expand the sale because they're making so much money. So now they decided Thanksgiving wasn't worth the flip either. So they now call that Gray Thursday and expend the sale, and this is what's going to take place. They've already agreed on it. From now on, they're expanding the sale for you through Gray Thursday instead of going to Mother's to eat turkey for dinner. Forget that. Let's go shopping. Gray Thursday all day, then Black Friday, And it'll expand other than that too. I think it already has. Somebody said that it would do that. Probably, maybe they'll just close down December 25th and have another sale. And then we can all just run out and play all day on December 25th instead of celebrating Christmas. The pagan custom, which he says is obviously pagan. They know that, but it's also obvious that the great prophet of Yahweh condemned this custom in the 10th chapter of Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, if you have a King James version. Don't forget, Mr. Pope, you changed his name too. You took the name of Yahweh out of this great prophet's name and gave it a new name in the King James Bible. But he says, his words are, "Hear the word which Yahweh speaks concerning you, O house of Israel." Now, I know that the Pope knows that I know that they are claiming to be the Aaronic priesthood. And I don't have any qualms with that. I know they are. They are the Israelites that refused to obey Yahweh, that chose in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, they came to Samuel and said, "We don't want Yahweh reigning over us anymore." This was the rejection of Yahweh's laws. They didn't want to keep his laws. Now, before this, in the very chapter before this, they were celebrating Christmas and Easter. And of course, they cut themselves off from Yahweh. The people were coming in and capturing their children, taking them to Rome and to Babylon. And of course, they came to Samuel and said, "Please save us." Well, Samuel said, "Okay, if you truly want to worship Yahweh, I'll have Yahweh fight your battle for you again." If you just think, brethren, if you just think what Yahweh was trying to show his people, he said, "You don't need strength. You don't need a huge number of warriors. I'll fight your battles for you." And that's what he was doing. And he showed this in that chapter. And they said, "Well, Abraham had a big army. Abraham had a lot of laborers, yeah." But they never did. There's no record at all in the Holy Scriptures that Abraham ever killed anyone or the men that worked for him. Yahweh fought his battles for them. Now, they ran through tar pits and fell in them and a few other things, but dropped all their things that they had stolen, set all the people free that they had captured, and Abraham merely came and got them and took them back. That's the story with Abraham. He kept my laws, statutes, and judgment, setting an example like Yahshua. Yahshua never killed anyone either. Well, here he says, "Hear, O house of Israel," and he's speaking to you, the Catholics, "because you split off from Samuel, and I know who you are. I fully recognize that. You're the ones that killed the prophets. You're the one that persecuted the prophet. And you're still doing it today, and you're still rejecting Yahweh's laws today and trying to get out of the crack here you've got yourself into by writing a book to try to pull back these people into your deception. Why don't you repent of this pagan custom?" Yes, praise Yahweh. This is what Yahweh says. Do not learn these pagan practices, the way of the unbelievers, the way of the heathen. And do not be deceived by the signs of heaven, though the heathen are deceived by them, for the religious customs of the people are worthless. They're vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest. This is Christmas. One cuts a tree out of the forest. They took it to the White House yesterday on a horse-drawn wagon, loaded it up in a wagon and took it to the White House. This is supposed to make it better, I guess, some way. It's still the pagan custom of cutting the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers so that it move not. They are upright like the palm tree, but they cannot speak. That's the way with all their gods. They're dead. They can't speak. They've been cut down. You need to trash it. It's going to be cast into the fire, Yahweh said. Now, let's go to the Savior's writings in Mark 7. In Mark 7, this should be something that anyone who celebrates these days and now is thinking twice about it. Here in Mark, the 7th chapter, and notice verse 13. Verse 13, Mark 7, verse 13. He says, making the laws of Yahweh of none effect through your traditions. Well, of course, you admit that Christmas is one of your pagan traditions. You even admit that it's pagan. So why not dump it? Why not repent of it? That's what the Savior is telling you to do here. He says, you make the laws of Yahweh of none effect through your traditions. You know why the laws of Yahweh was made, Mr. Pope? It was made to bring you peace. It was made to bring you peace with the neighbors around you. It was made to keep people from stealing from you or you stealing from us. That was what was brought out earlier. These taxes that are being paid to the Catholic Church are coming from your pocket. That's what makes your taxes so high. If we cut out the taxes going to the Catholic Church, yes, we could buy a new car every year. Or maybe run it on Black Friday and get us a television, another television. Someone was wanting to move here the other day and they said they needed help because their television was 52 inches wide. I said, I couldn't get that in my mobile home. Take a big truck to move that thing. Yeah, no, I need 3 men to move it. Well, he said, through your traditions you have handed down and many other similar things you do. Now, this is easy to understand. Go back to verse 7 of this same chapter. Verse 7, he says, but in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, or teaching for doctrines this tradition of Christmas. It wouldn't help you even if you worshiped in the true name if you keep on keeping this pagan celebration, because you're not worshiping Yahweh or Yeshua, you're worshiping these pagan gods to which it represents. December the 25th is the birthday of the pagan sun god Baal. You know that. You know that, Pope. Everybody else knows it now because we're telling it all over the world. Now, notice what the Savior said next. For laying aside the law of Yahweh, you hold the tradition of men. Then he said to them, how well you reject the law of Yahweh so that you may keep your own tradition. If you kept the laws of Yahweh, you would not be able to keep this tradition because it condemns it. That's what the Savior is saying here. Look back to verse 5. He said, now the Pharisees and Sadducees asked him, these Pharisees and Sadducees is what you were before you destroyed the temple and moved all the artifacts to Rome. Pharisees and Sadducees is what you still are. You're nothing but hypocrites. You know the truth. You know the truth, and you've rejected the truth for your own traditions that make money for you. Well, that money is failing now, and it's going to fail even more for you. Why do your disciples not walk? Now, you can plainly see here that Yahshua's disciples are not walking in your traditions. They're not keeping your traditions. So don't make out like that Peter, the one you call Peter, the Apostle Kepha, walked in the traditions of Christianity. He didn't. It's a lie. He was not a Christian. He was a House of Yahweh member that stood up for the laws of Yahweh all through his writings. They walk according to the traditions. Now, let's read it again. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders?" That was the tradition of you, the Catholics. Before you were Catholics, you were Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. But eat bread with unwashed hands. And he answered and said to them, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." This is what the Savior is saying of you, Pope. He's calling you a hypocrite. You know that this is a pagan custom, and yet you're willing to let all the people worship this God and die and go to hell and burn in hell. Hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Traditions, the act of celebrating pagan customs or traditions after the truth comes to you is called iniquity. That's where you stand now. Look back to Matithya the seventh chapter, Matithya 7. And notice verse 23, because the Savior is speaking to you here. When you know this and you don't do it, and you push aside the laws of Yahweh for your traditions, pushing aside the laws of Yahweh is called iniquity. And the Savior says to you right here in verse 23, chapter 7 of Matithya, verse 23, "But then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who practice iniquity." You who practice iniquity. You are classified by the Savior, Yeshua Messiah, as follows. Look at verse 15. He tells you what you are. Verse 15. "Beware of false prophets." You are, Pope, a false prophet, according to the Savior, whom you're pretending you worship in this Christmas celebration, even though you're pointing out all the falsehoods in it. You're pretending you're worshiping him, but he says your worship is in vain. You're a false prophet that's bringing forth lies to the world, all the world. And you got this started, and now you're losing the people because they found out you're celebrating nothing but lies. Did you know the prophet said that too? One day you're going to wake up, all of the people out there, that one day is now, and you're going to know that you've inherited nothing but lies. He's going to write another book, I think, close before spring, letting us know that rabbits don't lay eggs. "Beware of false prophets." That's what Yeshua is saying to the world and to you who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Likewise, every righteous tree. Well, righteousness, Mr. Pope, is found in 1 John, or 1 Yochanan, as it should be, 3, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 8. And if you don't practice the laws of Yahweh, you're not righteous. Every righteous tree keeps the laws of Yahweh, brings forth righteous fruit. That's what it's saying. But a tree of evil brings forth iniquity. That's exactly what the Savior says you're doing, pushing aside the laws of Yahweh. That's iniquity. A false prophet like yourself is bringing forth nothing but iniquity. Verse 18, a righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. So that's the reason, Mr. Pope, that you can bring it forth. You're not a righteous tree. You're an evil tree that's following Satan herself and what your teacher tells you to do. Yeshua said it himself. You're going to do. That's in John 8:44. A righteous tree cannot bring forth the fruit of iniquity, nor can a tree of evil bring forth righteousness. No, you would have to repent before you could ever bring forth righteousness. Every tree, here you are, here's your judgment. Every tree which does not bring forth righteous fruit, keeping the laws of Yahweh, is cut down and cast into the fire. Cut down and cast into the fire. Turn over to 1 Yochanan and read this for yourself. 1 Yochanan 3. Here's the disciples that was trained by Yeshua Messiah. This was written in 69, 1 year before you destroyed the temple and to move the artifacts to Rome. The Savior's disciple wrote this to you. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. By whatever means, this is sin. Look at verse 7. Little children, let no pope or let no man, period, deceive you. He who practices keeping the laws, does not commit sin. Sin is the breaking of the law. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Verse 8, he who commits sin, that is breaking the law, belongs to Satan the devil. Now that's plain enough for anyone to understand. This was a disciple of Yeshua. It says the same in every translation, even the Latin translation says this. Yes, and verse 10 shows you that this is the what distinguishes the people who belong to the Creator versus those who you belong to. And the fire is waiting for you, Yahweh says. Revelations 22, if that's not enough now, look on over to Revelations 22. Because the Savior further gives you his judgment here, and all judgment in heaven and earth is now given to mankind, to Yeshua Messiah, who is the Son of Man. The Son of Man, Pope. The Son of Man. It wasn't the Son of some Holy Ghost or unholy ghost even. He's the Son of Man, and that was the promise to the Son of Man, to the sons of men. I will make man in my image and after my likeness. I won't take the unholy ghost or the Holy Ghost, either one, and make him in my likeness. I'll do it with mankind. That's the promise. There's no assumption there either. It's plain. You don't have to guess at all. And behold, I come quickly. This is the Savior. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work will be. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his, the Father's laws, for they have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What about the rest of you, Pope, and your followers? Look at verse 15 and you'll find the answer there. In chapter 20 now, he makes it even plainer. The Savior here doing the speaking. Chapter 20, and start with verse 11. This is the great white throne judgment. And verse 11, chapter 20 of Revelations, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled. This is the new creation of the new heaven and the new earth that we will read more about from the prophets. New heaven and the new earth, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. According to their works. Did they turn and repent when they found out that Christmas was a pagan holiday? Or did they go ahead celebrating it, worshiping the sun god, Baal, who is against the laws of righteousness? That's your works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Sheol gave up the Sheol delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were every one judged, every man according to their works. No ifs, ands, and buts. They were all judged according to their works. Did they keep Christmas or not? Did they know that it was a pagan custom or not? Well, now they do. Even the ones that instituted it are admitting it's a pagan custom, full of lies, nothing but lies. And the death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now you just noticed in Revelation 22:14, who is written in the book of life. Yeshua plainly said, those who keep the laws of Yahweh. Blessed are those who keep the laws of Yahweh. They're written in the book of life. You may have life if you keep those laws. You said, these pagan customs has proved enduring traditions. Now, that's your words in your own book. And yes, they are. And notice, the scriptures agree. You and your followers will not repent. That's what Yeshua says. Look first to Acts before we go to Revelations. But Acts 3, the scriptures show that you and your followers will not repent, that you will keep on with your practices, and they will follow you. Your customers will follow you. Many of them will leave you. But you will have some that will go with you and burn in hell. Here is the advice of the Acts of the Apostles. They didn't follow Christianity and do away with the laws. They tell you in no uncertain terms that your sins will not be forgiven, they will not be blotted out, unless you repent. Verse 19, Acts 3, verse 19, he says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. Notice, your sins are not blotted out until you repent of sin and are converted to keeping Yahweh's laws. Notice that. Now look on over now to Revelations, the 9th chapter, Revelations 9, because here's where you stand right now. All Catholics stands in this position right here, knowing they're worshiping the gods. That's forbidden because the gods are against Yahweh's laws. They're leading you into sin. They're leading the whole world into misery right now. You saw the gang wars. We brought the things that are taking place all over the world, the fighting, the protest. They'll put a king in office and right away they hate the man and they start protesting what he's done. Instead of praying for their king, they're wanting to kill him. Now this is going on all over the world, the hatred and the violence. This has been created by you, Mr. Pope, and the ones who your predecessors who persecuted the prophets, killed the Savior. Yes, killed the Savior, rejected everything he said and still rejecting everything he said. You're the ones that Yahweh said are guilty of all this blood from the righteous blood of Abel clear down to this time period. Because you and your predecessors has gone forth profaneness to all the world. It's the profaneness right now that has got, we know, these are the cases that's filed. One out of every three people mentally ill in the world that they know of. Many they don't even know about because they don't go to doctors. They know the doctors can't do anything about it. Some have been and they didn't run tests long enough. The person that gave them, they gave them drugs to fight it, and it made them feel so bad they didn't want any more of them, so they didn't go back. These are, there's millions of cases like this. But they got registered right now because of your actions in bringing forth iniquity, doing away with Yahweh's laws that would keep you healthy, with a mind healthy and could choose, make rightful choices of righteousness instead of evil. Yes. You know, Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, tells everyone to choose and says you must choose. Now, if Satan can poison the minds to where they can't make a rightful choice, and this is exactly what's taken place because of your continual, down for thousands of years now, have rejected the laws of Yahweh, you've brought forth to this world sickness, disease, suffering, war, hatred, everything you see in the world today, you have brought it forth. And you're charged with it before Yahweh, you and your predecessors who persecuted the prophets, that Yahshua said, I know you're the sons of Abraham. You don't have to argue with me about that. I know it. You're the ones that turned against Abraham. But you're not followers of Abraham. If you did, you would love me. Well, here now in Revelations 9, he shows you, and he shows you the horrible nuclear wars that's going to take place, of which you're responsible. All the sick minds that you've brought forth down through the centuries, you're responsible for this. And verse 20 is speaking especially of you because you're the leader. You're the one that sits on the seven hills of Rome and is leading the kings of the earth into these nuclear wars that is shown from chapter 9, verses 1 through 24 here, or 21. And he says, after a third part of the people are dead, over a fourth part of the earth in and around your area now, this is that fourth part of the earth, which includes Rome, it's going to be burned too, prophecy says. I think you're a fool if you don't believe this prophecy, Mr. Pope. And yeah, I know you probably don't, or Satan has lied to you and told you she's going to protect you. But Rome is going to be burned. The scripture says that, and the Savior, Yahshua, says you're a fool if you don't believe it. I'm saying you're a fool if you don't believe it. I repeat the words of the Savior. Always. Well, he says, after a third part of man is killed over that fourth part of the earth, he says, verse 20, that the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. I know you know this because Malachi Martin, one of your top writers, wrote in his book that you're outnumbered, even if you say you don't worship demons, you're outnumbered in your house, because Malachi Martin says that there's more devil worshipers, confessed devil worshipers, than there are those that are not devil worshipers in the Catholic Church. That is in the Vatican, the leadership of the Vatican. That's what he was talking about in the book, The Keys of This Blood, which show that you're the seed of Abraham, but you're the evil genes that came forth from Cain. And they're still in your bloodline, but you could resist them if you would repent and turn to Yahweh. But Yahweh says you won't, that you won't repent of the worship of demons and gods. Gods. The sun god, whose everyone knows that December the 25th was chosen because it was the birthday of the famous sun god that you brought out of Egypt with you, that the Pharaohs worshipped before Yahweh brought you out from them, your ancestors, and you're still hanging on to this God worship that came out of Egypt, as Yahweh showed in 1 Samuel 8, when you rejected Samuel and the laws of Yahweh. You won't turn from demon worship, from God worship. Verse 21, neither will you repent of your murders, nor of your sorceries, nor of your fornication, nor of your thefts. And you know that thefts is what's going on all over the world. You want to take those people's land, you want to take their wealth, and you promise this to everyone who will follow you. Well, that is chapter 9. Now look back to you set as a judge right now. If you look on over to Revelation 17, Yahweh fully describes you and your activities. Those who dress like saints of Yahweh, but you're like raven wolves. Your thefts, your murders, it all follows you. You're a tree of wickedness that the Savior spoke of in Matthew 7. You're a false prophet. That's what the Savior shows that you are, and you're backing it up with all of your moves. In chapter 17 of Revelations, and there came to me one of the seven, that's me, Mr. Pope, who had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying, come and I will show. That's what I'm doing today. I'm showing you your sentence. You and all your followers, your sentence. Of the great whore that sets upon, that is, governs all of these people, multitudes, nations, and languages. That is you that he is speaking of, with whom the kings of the earth have practiced the same fornication, the same worship of demons and gods, the same one that you celebrate with December 25th, whether you cut a tree, whether you hang a light on it, whether you move it with a wagon, you're still worshiping this God. Whatever you do concerning this pagan holiday, you're a part of that worship. And all the world follows after you in these things. This is called adultery, God worship, idolatry, and God worship. And the inhabitants of the earth are made drunk. That is, they're confused, their minds. One out of every three have mental disorders. One out of every three, they know this right now because of your actions. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of the God worshipers. And I saw a woman, that's you. Look on over to verse 18. The woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, who sits on seven hills. Verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains on which she sits. Do you know any other cities that sits on seven hills that teaches these abominations? And you know you're teaching abomination. You admit it in your book. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast. Yes, this beast that you're worshiping, this beastly system that you've turned the nations into, all fighting each other. Before you left Israel, you were fighting each other in Israel. The families were fighting each other because of your activities. You were going in and stealing from each other then. And then you spread out to all the nations and you're still following the same practices that you followed in the land of Israel, where Yahweh brought you out of Egypt and let you possess it to show what you are. You were on trial and you proved to Yahweh what you were. Your ancestors did. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror right now and see if it doesn't describe you fully right here. having abominations and filthiness to pour out to the earth, and your fornication, all in verse 4. And upon her head was the name written, Mystery Babylon. Oh yes, everything has been a mystery. From the she-wolf that raised the two boys who killed each other. You know, that's a great mystery of your actions, myth. That's a myth that they put out concerning your actions, that you kill each other and you won't repent, Yahweh says. The mother of harlots, the mother of Christianity. Christianity, they follow your footsteps. They have no authority outside the Catholic Church for breaking the Sabbath or for celebrating Christmas or anything. You're the ones that brought forth the whole thing. The mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. That is you that it's speaking of. I know of no other that sits on the seven hills of Rome. I know of no other great city that rules the kings of the earth except the one that sits on the seven hills of Rome. You're fully in action. Why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this, Mr. Pope? First of all, Luke 24, verse 25. Look at that first. Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, what has the prophet spoken? Turn over to Micah and read it for yourself. Micah 4. This is the reason that I'm telling you what I'm telling you. Because Yahweh and Yahshua both said that I would tell you this in the last days. You just read it in the 17th chapter, the first verse. The seventh Malachim, the seventh messenger, the seventh work of Yahweh. That's me. That's the house of Yahweh. Chapter 4 of Micaiah. But in the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain, that is promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations, that's the United States. It will rise above all congregations. As Yahshua said, it'll start off like the largest tree. It'll start off really, really small, with the smallest seed, but it will grow and it will not stop growing until it has engulfed the whole universe. It will be raised above all congregations, and all peoples will eventually flow to it. And many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain, the promotion, the uplifted of Yahweh, and to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways. That's the reason that I'm telling you this today. Who am I? Turn over to Revelation 11 and I'll show you who I am. Who it is that's speaking to you on these terms. Revelations 11. Revelations 11 and verse 1. And there was given unto me a reed like a measuring rod, and the Moloch stood, saying, rise and measure the temple. Do you know who measured that temple, Mr. Pope, that you now have a picture of? I know you've seen it. It's in your German magazines even, that you call German magazines. Yes, it's all over the world at this time. I'm the one that measured that. I'm the one that made the temple model. The temple model whose pictures went into your magazines. And it was spread as being the most accurate that anyone had ever seen. But the court which is outside the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the heathen. And the holy city they will tread down underfoot 42 moons. This is a special time period that we're in right now. And I will give to my two witnesses to perform the prophetic office, and they will foretell. They will show and tell. Come and I will show and I will tell you about yourself. That's what I'm doing. The 1,260 days cast about with darkness, darkness that you have brought on yourselves because you have rejected the laws of Yahweh. I'm one of the two olive trees spoken of in verse 4. These are, as it were, the two olive trees, and as it were, the two lampstands, ministering for Father Yahweh of the earth. That's me. I'm also the one called the chosen branch, if you want to study further. My high priest is Yahshua Messiah, whose name you changed, took it out of the Holy Scriptures. The same Yahshua that keeps and teaches that the seventh day Sabbath remains, so does the prophets. I'll give you one last scripture because you're the ones that changed the Sabbath day. Isaiah 66. You changed it only for yourselves. You didn't change Yahweh's Sabbath. Yahweh's Sabbath remains for Yahweh's people. You can't keep the Sabbath, Mr. Pope. An evil tree can't bring forth righteousness. So you can't. It's impossible for you to do so right now. In your mind is sick, and you're taking the sickness to all the world right now. And pretty soon you will see a third part of man die in the area around you, in that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates. You're part of that fourth part. You're going to see a third part of man die there, and then you're going to see the war spread till they have engulfed all nations, because every nation is going to learn that what Yahweh says is true. His word is coming to pass. In chapter 66, though, you will see something that remains, that is going to remain. And we're making right now, Yahweh is, he's making new heavens and new earth. We're in as Kepha, not Peter. He wasn't a pope, but the apostle Kepha says, we're in righteousness dwells. Righteousness, in case you don't know it yet, even though I've told you several times already, I know your mind is sick and it's hard to grasp this, but 1 John in your Bible, chapter 3, verse 4 through 8 or 10, read the whole thing and you will see that righteousness is the keeping of the laws of Yahweh. Kepha, who you changed his name to Peter, said there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. And by no means will evil, false prophets like yourself enter into this kingdom. In verse 22 of Isaiah 66, he says, and as the new heavens, that's the ones Kepha spoke of, the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells, righteousness only dwell. And as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will remain before me, they will remain. Yahweh won't allow you to destroy that, says Yahweh. So will your seed and your name remain. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come and worship before me, says Yahweh. In the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells, all flesh will come and worship before me every Sabbath day. They'll have no excuse for sickness at that time. There won't be any sickness in the world in this new heaven and new earth. And they will go forth and look upon the carcasses of the Pope and all of his followers. That's speaking of you, Pope, the false prophet of this earth who is worshiping of demons and is bringing forth to the world the curses, all these curses, the plagues. And in chapter 18, it shows the only way to come out and not suffer these plagues. You can read it for yourself, Mr. Pope, in chapter 18 of Revelations. Come out from among them and be separate from their sins so you won't partake of their curses, their plagues. Verse 24 of Isaiah 66, and they will go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who have transgressed against me. The transgression of Yahweh's law is sin. Don't let anyone deceive you otherwise. He who keeps the laws of Yahweh is righteous. They will go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who transgressed against me. Well, of course, Revelation says the same thing. Revelations 20, the great white throne judgment, and the last verse, 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's the ones that for the second death. That's not the first death. That's the second death where there will be no resurrection. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.